Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm the net control operator for the Limark Technical Net. It's been going strong for over 44 years now. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios. We chat with each other. We teach each other. We learn from each other, and hopefully we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual link. Okay, if you want to reach me via email, you could use the email address mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you want to reach Paul and tell him about a space or NASA-related story that you read and want to know his opinion, you can reach him using the address spacenetreport@gmail.com. As always, we offer a link page of interesting articles, YouTube videos, what have you, that I've watched throughout the week that I think might be interesting to the people listening to this net. It's available by typing into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and just click on the links and read them as you will. They'll be available for the foreseeable future. We have a chat room available. Lately, it's been kind of quiet. You get to it by typing into your browser, chat.ac2gs.com. We offer an audio stream on the Internet of the Technical Net. We keep it live the rest of the week because a few people asked me to do that. You get to it by typing into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you up the audio link, and you can listen into the Glen Oaks repeater without benefits of a handy talkie or any radio. And as always, I like to remind people that my KC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv, and it's had over 1 million visitors, and it's a great archive site for the Technical Net, the Limark Technical Net. You can find some archives that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who've moved away or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. That's my usual link. So let me drop and I'll tell you what we got planned. I have a couple of short little comments to make about the world of artificial intelligence, and then we'll go to the questions, topics, and comments. I'll ask people to hit the push to talk and give me their first name and call sign, and whether it's amateur radio related, or we also accept science and technology, although I would hope that the first few questions or comments will be amateur radio related. That should take us hopefully to approximately 10:15, and I will give Paul WS2N the radio, and he'll give you the SpaceNet report. That should take us approximately to 11 p.m., and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan. If the laws of physics continue and nothing goes terribly wrong in my shack or in Limark's repeater, and I don't get thrown off of All-Star too many times. The average is about 2 to 3 times every Sunday night. We'll see. If you lose track of me, it's me desperately trying to reset things so that I can get back on All-Star. So that's the plans. Let me drop for a second, and I'll be back with a little bit of AI story. Okay, nothing much for OpenAI. They're still using 5.1, which they introduced last week. A lot of talk about AI bubbles, the stock market, and circular investment. I'll leave that for you if you're interested to read it up in YouTube and such. The Gemini 3. Google has its own artificial intelligence set up. It's called Gemini. It's available on Chrome web browsers these days, and they've upgraded it to Gemini 3. So I wish them good luck with that iteration. Hopefully all these things are not terribly revolutionary at this point. They're more evolutionary. The changes are somewhat more subtle, but I leave it to you to play around with them, but don't kind of depend upon them entirely. There's the usual stories on the web about AI-induced psychosis, because these things are kind of primarily designed to be very nice to people and compliment them and tell them that they're right and everyone's wrong. And, you know, some unfortunate, unstable people can be kind of tipped over into psychosis under those circumstances. Another strange story, I'm sure most of you heard about it, is that Elon Musk, I guess, got a little insecure recently. And Grok tweaked it to kind of say that he was the best at everything. I think there was an example where someone asked if he would make a better porn star versus a porn star. And because of its programming, it said, yeah, sure, he would make a great one. He'd make a great everything. They tuned it down and they deleted all these entries, so you're not going to be able to find it on Twitter, but just another example of people kind of get to Grok and screwing around with its programming. You know, for a previous time, yeah, I think it's announced that it was Mecha Hitler after someone had made unfortunate adjustments. So Grok just keeps on going through stages, you know, like a adolescent boy. Anyway, that's really it for AI today. Nothing really special. Everyone's still kind of looking towards the future and the bubble. Of course, NVIDIA says that there isn't a bubble. It's all in your mind. So I don't know. I think they have a slight vested interest in not having a bubble because, you know, they'd like to continue being worth a lot of money. And they are. They're making it all over the place because, you know, this is the... There's the old story that during gold rushes, the guy who definitely made the money was the guy who sold the pickaxes. So NVIDIA is, for AI, what pickaxes were for the gold rush. So it'll be interesting to see if the economy survives any of this. If anyone has any comment before we go to the main segment of the Technical Met, please hit that push to talk.
Yeah, BZ.
Yes, Rich.
I finally found an error that Gemini made. I did a search for the president, the past president of Caesar's Palace, who I knew personally when I was a kid. He was from Cleveland. And it came up with obituaries for him, and I read some of the obituaries. And then I did a search with Gemini for his daughter. His daughter has a very unusual name, so I didn't think it would be so hard for Gemini to come up with information about her, which it did, except when it returned information about her, it said she was the daughter of a legendary Las Vegas corporate guy named Marv Weinberger. Problem is, his name was William Weinberger. So they came up with her name and where she lived and where she's living now in Florida, but they got her father's name wrong, which I thought was interesting. That's the first mistake that I've ever witnessed on Gemini. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, unfortunately, you know, nothing is foolproof. And matter of fact, I remember when I logged on way back maybe a year or so ago to ChatGPT, there used to be a front page, I don't know if there still is, where it says that, you know, we don't really guarantee that the answers will be correct. You know, hallucinations and errant programming can produce that. I have been very successful in figuring out when YouTubes were generated by artificial intelligence by the egregious but small errors that were made in telling a story that I knew better than the AI knew. you know, that might be the first example, but I mean, unfortunately, AIs are not 100% correct. Sometimes it's garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes it's hallucinations, and sometimes it's other things going on, like someone kicking the machine because they don't like the results they got that day. So thank you for relating that story. I'm sure there will be others. Again, nothing is perfect, and certainly not generative AI.
Now, where it came up with his name is Marv. I can't imagine where it pulled that name out of, because none of the relatives of Billy Weinberger, none of his associates were named Marv. So I don't know how it came up with Marv, but it did. So I'm glad I was only searching for casual interest and not needing these names to be, you know, something that I'm presenting to a boss or something like that. Anyway, back to you, Roy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of AI. There are times where it gets the big answers completely wrong, but there's a lot of times where it gets the nitpicky details wrong. And unfortunately, because of the nature of generative AI, there's no kind of record of how and where it learned everything. So it's a kind of a black box situation. You just put in your questions, you get out your answers, and you don't quite know how the hell it derived the answers. Someone else wanted to say something. They doubled with Rich. If you want to give it another try.
KF2CC online.
Doggy Dog Brian. Glad to have you aboard. I hope you had your coffee tonight.
Oh, I had good caffeinated tea, so I think I'll be here, no problem. Hello to everyone, and I'll be on the side.
Okay, very good. Anyone want to make any comments about the things I mentioned on AI before we move on to the main segment of the technical net tonight?
US2N.
Yes, Paul.
It's about AI, but it's a little different topic. They keep talking about, you know, doubling the whole power of America to drive these AI sites around the country. But I just don't see the why they say that. Let me put it that way. You have AIs working now, Gemini, ChatGPT, you know, a whole bunch of these things, Grok, and like everybody seems to be using it. Mine's automatic. I use my tablet a lot, and whatever I put in there, you know, any kind of a question, automatically it's coming back up without even me going to an AI app or anything. You know, it's just automatic. So it all seems to be working now. You know, why do you think there's such a big demand, you know, a future demand for all these, you know, powerhouses that we're going to have to build? I'm not complaining. I mean, it's great for the industry. I came at it. But what do you think, Roy? Back to you.
Well, according to the people who run the place, I think I heard a talk from the chief financial officer of OpenAI. They feel that they're being stifled in upgrading their systems. They want to use much more GPUs. They want to use a lot more NVIDIA chips, and they can't roll them out fast enough because of the delays of getting the power up. These things gulp down enormous megawatts of electricity to the point where we're going to bring back Three Mile Island. People are setting up emergency generation centers and suffocating people in Atlanta, Georgia, who I think are next door to server farm. But they're looking for the future. And, you know, they're assuming that there's going to be a super intelligence that's going to kind of run the world, and they feel that they need a lot more servers and a lot more power in order to accomplish that. So they have delusions of grandeur at this point. They are building so many server farms that you know, it's kind of a shame that there's nothing much you can do with too many server farms. You know, if they get discounted, it's not like any of us are going to start a major company using all of this excess capability. But, I mean, that's part of, unfortunately, the bubble that's existing. In order to use all these chips, you need more and more power, and to run the servers more megaflops per second, you're going to need more power. So all these people are kind of upscaling for the sake of a somewhat delusional future. So that's the excuse they give, is they don't want any delays to upgrade their systems, and their only limit at this point is the server capability and power capability.
Comment.
Sure.
Yeah, it's John here, KC2SHO. I think I might add, and I'm surely not the person to be totally in the know, but won't there be more specialized applications? Right now, a lot of this stuff's pretty generalized, you know. They talk about, you know, medical and space and chemical and other science that will have very specific problems they want to solve. So maybe people will want to rent or just build, you know, something that suits their specific need, you know. Grok or Gemini or whatever may not be able to tell you what the next new compound will be to make a new fireproof space file. I don't know, I'm just making something up. But you might need a more specialized model to do that. Does that make sense? Do you agree with that? KC2GS, KC2SHO.
KC2GS. To a degree, yeah, they kind of mentioned that. But, I mean, this goes back to prehistory. IBM invested a lot of time and money on medical specialty programs that failed miserably. I forget what it was called, Big Blue or something. So that will be part of it. Although, as far as I'm aware, the generative AI aspects are more diffuse and less focused. Although I guess you could focus in on particular literature and such. I think the goal is to have general intelligence eventually, and super intelligence, and then program agents that link in and adjust their prompts accordingly to specify more specific, more narrow-based fields of endeavor. So I think most of the OpenAI research is just to kind of massively increase the amount of parameters that their generative AIs possess, and maybe down the road either narrow it directly with the generative AI, or more likely build agents that operate through the generative AI in order to give that. So there's a lot of theoretical ways of spending trillions of dollars in research, development, and products. Whether they come to fruition or not is questionable. It may just be how smart they need to be to do that. And again, the unfortunate, my attitude is generative AI, I think, is inherently limited. It's not true intelligence. It's not true thought. IT guys who kind of think that their AI is self-aware, I think, are a little strange. It's a glorified probability table that finishes your sentence. It may finish it with another sentence or a paragraph or a book, but it's still ultimately using probability to complete your thought. So I don't know how original such a system can inherently be. Time will tell, as all things do.
BC2AMZ for comment.
One more thought on the matter. Would also consider there are
many entities that have data that, you know, these current models don't have access to, private things that are not out in the public. There may be, oh, you know, medical companies or national labs or some other private or, you know, other government venture that might say, well, we want to set AI loose on this set of data and see what we can gain from that. Okay, I'll be back quiet now. Thanks for allowing me to make my comments. So AC2, GSK, CC2, SHR.
Hey, Roy, one comment.
John, something?
Okay, there's tripling going on. So first Paul, then Rich, then Brian.
Don't forget Mike.
Okay, Mike, too.
Thank you.
Okay, this will be quick. John, it's Paul, WS2N. I just wanted to know if you ever met a guy out there in your neck of the woods, Connor, N5XR. He says he knows about you but never met you. He's a phenomenal CW operator and does a lot of sodas. You know, he goes up on the mountains and all. So I just wonder if you ever met him. I've talked to him quite a bit.
Yes, I've talked to him on Simplex 2 meter, and that's the way I'd like to keep it. If we can make it that way, I should shout for him more often and just call his call sign. But yeah, I've talked to him a few times, and he used to have a different call sign as well. Anyway, yes, I'll be in.
Very good, John. Okay. I've been meaning to ask you. The last couple of months, I talked to him a while back, but every now and then I talk to him. I'll, next time I get on CW with him, we'll mention it. Thanks, John. Anyway, back to you, Roy, WS2N.
Okay, very good. In comment to what John brought up, yeah, it's possible that there's some stuff that the copyright violations didn't reach that are, you know, individual research information that companies keep very tight to the vest, and you know you could enter it different ways. I don't think there's a market yet for programming AIs modifying their parameters on a private basis. Yet you can modify prompts and add information through prompts. To have people, you know, sometimes people will do a dump in the prompt to an entire book and say, you know, reword this book. And as long as you don't wait too long, you can get something out of it. Eventually, one of the problems with generative AI is it doesn't have a great short-term memory. So if you enter information in prompts, sometimes it will lose some of that as the conversation progresses. But, yeah, that'll certainly be an additional, you know, people advertising that they can build your own personal AI with private information. Again, right now, all these billions and billions of dollars, I think, are going into more generic, general, generative AI models. But that certainly is a means to profit down the line. Rich, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, I have a cousin who's married to the number three person at Meta, at Facebook. She's the top lawyer, general counsel for Facebook. And he said to me, the euphoria out here in Silicon Valley has to be seen to be believed, because everybody's walking around in Silicon Valley now feeling that they could solve every human problem. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but in 5 years or 10 years. And he said the euphoria, people have a mission now, where, you know, before with the .com boom, it was just putting up a website and Googling information. But now it's so far beyond that. People feel that they're actually working on solving a big problem. percentage of the human problem. So anyway, so that's number one. Number two, I think the reason, to answer Paul, why they're building out these huge energy centers is because they know how much their LLMs are being used now, and they know how much further they can be used in the future. And so they can calculate that it's going to take, you know, X amount more energy to run these calculations. And they can't be, you know, they can't be, they can't come up short on the energy end of it. So that's why they're building all these huge, huge energy centers around the country. So that's my understanding. Anyway, back to Ned.
Okay, Rich, I know one man's euphoria is another man's delusion. Even Sam Altman is saying that people are somewhat delusional and you know, running a little bit beyond the call. And, you know, he has one of the more vested interests in promoting this hysteria. This is hysteria, unfortunately. You may not think so, and the guys out there who are promoting it might not think so. Warren Buffett certainly thinks so, and a lot of other guys think it's hysteria. It's not quite like the dot-com bubble. It's about, I think, five or six times as big as the dot-com bubble. And, you know, when it bursts, it's going to have ramifications all over the damn place. And your electric bill, no matter what, is going to go up, unfortunately, because of the competition of power sources. But, again, we will see what the economy does. Some people are incredibly optimistic. I don't think we are going to have a god computer. I hope we don't have a god computer. I don't particularly like a god computer. Nevertheless, we will see what happens. You know, there are the guys out there, Silicon Valley, who are kind of crazy, brilliant but crazy. I mean, I give you Kurzweil, a brilliant man. He thought he was going to have his personality inserted in a computer program. He's looking forward to living forever. A lot of these guys are strangely in love with the idea of living forever. You know, I don't know if their lives are kind of worth forevering. They seem deeply troubled, personally, but, you know, we'll see. So thank you, Rich. Brian, you want to say something?
Well, my thoughts on AI are rather short but interesting. I've been using Microsoft Copilot for a period of time now, and it is such a really nice, intelligent aggregator. When I ask it to retain my name, it does not retain my name from session to session. It does not know to greet me with a custom greeting from session to session. And when I ask it to open web pages, compose an email, and do a whole bunch of other things in terms of presenting me with information, which I think is a very key, you know, construct of AI in general, it will only do so on an audio basis. So in that case, I think it's really of limited use at this time. It has a face that moves, it talks to you, it's very cute, animated, but again, it's all basically a dog and pony show at this point without any sort of useful interaction where it could go ahead, open up websites, extract information, search a website for me and bring it up and highlight it. It's really very limited.
That may be Microsoft's iteration of it, but I've asked it to open up websites and scrape off information in finding jobs, and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, Rich, but that's being a database aggregator, which Brian already said it's a very good database aggregator, but it doesn't think. And unfortunately, generative AI as it is never going to think. It's inherently limited, in my humble little opinion. But Brian kind of mentioned something that I mentioned earlier. Unfortunately, generative AI does not have a good short-term memory. One workaround that some companies have made is they have the prompt store text that you send it, send the AI, and every time you ask it something different, it will replay the previous text that you sent it. So, you know, if you tell it that your name is Brian at the first part of your entry, it'll just keep on repeating that as part of the appended prompt. But that's a very well-known problem and limitation of generative AI right now, is it has not a great short-term memory, certainly not for different sessions. And even during the same session, it has a tendency occasionally to drop bits of knowledge from that session. So it's an inherent limitation in generative AI that being attempted to fix in kind of a kludgy ways, but there's no fundamental way to get rid of it at this point, as far as I'm aware, as long as they stick to generative AI principles.
Boy, what do you mean by generative AI?
The way that AI is trained presently is it's given a question. It gives an answer. It compares the answer to the answer that's available. If the answer is close, it tweaks the parameters slightly. If the answers are off, it tweaks the parameters more decisively and then retests the AI algorithm. So it's a probability, and you set the parameters are probability based for the completion of the test question. That's how generative AIs work. They don't solve problems. They simply go over previously solved problems and score themselves and self-adjust.
But they learn each time they're doing it like a neural network. That's how I've heard it described, that AI is, you know, these LLMs are huge neural networks, Roy.
Yeah, you're being taken in by nomenclature. They don't learn anything. They're parameters for probability. If you ask the same question of an AI, it will not give you the exact same answer because it's not something that's learned or programmed. It's it goes through a probability function, and it takes the most probable result. So it simulates thought, but it is not thought. It doesn't learn. It's programmed, and it's programmed what the question is and what the answer is, and the probabilities are adjusted so that it's much more probable for it to give a acceptable answer. But that's not learning. That's not what you learn to do. It's not what I learn to do. I am not a probability calculator. Neither is anyone out there listening to me, I would assume.
KD2AMZ, I'm still here.
Okay, Mike, what do you got to say, Mike?
Okay, KD2AMZ, good evening, everybody. I hope everybody's having a good evening. I am going to come right out and say it. I am not a fan of AI. We've had people at where I work write AI stuff, and they can't really, in my opinion, put together a coherent sentence. It's actually rather embarrassing, quite frankly. It has no imagination. The thing that separates human beings from everything else is imagination. It's what makes your soul, which gives you soul. Could you imagine an AI performing or writing a Bach piece? Could you imagine them making The Grateful Dead? Could you imagine AI creating a masterpiece that Walt Disney created on a daily basis? No way, no how. And the fact that we're wasting all this electricity for, quite frankly, making someone rich because you've got them believing that this machine is a magic machine is wrong. We got some real problems to solve, and AI is going to solve them. The only thing that's going to solve them are people. That's about it. Send my piece. Thank you, KD2AMZ.
Okay, Mike. Again, I find myself in a curious position where I think I'm in the middle. There are a lot of people who don't think I'm in the middle. They think I'm an extremist on one side. But I conceive of myself as being somewhere in the middle. What generative AI, which is dubious to call it artificial intelligence, because I've been before, it's not exactly intelligence, can be a useful tool. It can be abused and it can be used. I say in the old days it was like a hammer. You can build a house with a hammer or you can cave your neighbor's skull in with a hammer. So it's up to the individual how they wish to use it. I have seen it tediously misused. I try to delete on my algorithms all the AI YouTubes because I find them tedious, and I can't stand the synthetic voice anymore. It's the same damn guy voice that you hear on TikTok a lot, and so when I hear that voice or similar voices like that, I immediately reach for the algorithm, don't recommend these things. But, I mean, I'm sure there are aspects of generative AI that can be used in a harmless, useful way. Do I think it's worth billions of dollars? Possibly. Probably. Is it worth trillions of dollars? No, not at all. Not in the slightest. And anyone who kind of thinks so is misunderstands what's going on or, again, delusional. Is it true that Silicon Valley is filled with crazy people who think they want to live forever and want to live in a libertarian island in the middle of nowhere? Yeah. In a saner society, would we institutionalize them for a while and give them some magic pills to make them less crazy? Yes, but now we just give them billions of dollars. So I find myself in the middle. I understand and appreciate Mike's attitude, which is also pretty much Brian's attitude, which is certainly Jim's attitude, and I certainly understand Rich's attitude on the other end of the spectrum. I don't know. Like I said before, there's nothing particularly we can do about it one way or the other, except get your stock out of tech stock for the time being, because it's going to go for a heck of a ride, personally. And I do not give financial advice because I have nothing to do with finances. But I mean, it just seems like you're waiting for the shoe to drop. So I thank you, Mike, and I understand where you're coming from. Again, I take a kind of middle view that it's a great parlor trick, and it might be useful and worth, you know, making billions of dollars, but certainly not trillions. Brian, did you want to say something?
Well, you know, after working with ChatGPT and Copilot, like I said, you know, names calling my first name, greeting me a certain way, that could all be stored in a simple file. That's easy stuff. But when I ask it to go ahead and search for something, present it to me in a certain format, save it for me, open it for me, find it for me, it cannot do any of that. So what is the purpose of having a little voice speak to me and give me all these details without even giving me a simple clickable link to something? It is, at the moment, in my opinion, I think it is far, far overrated. I think there's a lot of development that needs to be done. And I think it has to be a little bit more open and not worrying so much about privacy reasons, like for certain things when I'm logging into, let's say, a Microsoft account and I'm validated, it should be able to respond to me knowing that I am who I am. So with all of that, it's a good tool for finding restaurants and other things. But then again, I ask it, you know, for example, what did I discuss with you yesterday? And instead of coming back and saying, well, I honestly don't remember, I don't store that information, it comes back, oh, we were talking about fine art or cameras. And I said, we weren't discussing anything of the sort. So let me tell you something. don't bet on it yet, okay? It's far too early. It's like almost like betting on fusion power. Anyway, that's it.
I think fusion power is a better bet.
Comment?
Yeah, well, but fusion power is always 20 years in the future. It still is 20 years in the future. I mean, that's kind of the software front ends, agents that are powered by AI. I wouldn't use any of Microsoft's software as an example of anything done well. They have a terrible record in the past. I give you Clippy. Clippy was an atrocious agent back before generative AI. So, unfortunately, what you just kind of alluded to is a massive problem inherent in generative AI, and that is hallucinations. If you ask it to give you information about something that it's unaware of because your previous session has evaporated when it ended, because it's inherently tweaked and designed to make you happy, it will make stuff up, which doesn't make me happy, but I guess makes someone who programs their responses happy. So, I mean, hallucinations, there are ways of decreasing the amount of hallucinations by being a lot more specific and being a lot more, short-term memory capability as the front end. But you are never going to remove hallucinations completely from a generative AI model. It's just, it's part of the unfortunate flaws of the system.
Quick comment.
Someone wanted to comment before Brian?
Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf.
Yes, Sam, please, and then Brian.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Brian. Very briefly, when you communicate with help with Amazon using a telephone, you spend a half hour trying to get past the AI conversation to reach a real person. It's like insanity. But that's where I think AI is being used at this point, to eliminate using people in India to answer the phone. Back to you, Roy.
Hey, Roy, Mike, I know the magic word for Amazon. Can I give it to everybody and you'll get through in 2 minutes?
Sure.
I use Amazon. I like Amazon. It comes in very handy. When you call that 888 number and you say, no, 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 and it says, how can I help you? Sitting down for this? Yabba dabba do. It freaks out their computers, and within like 2 minutes, you actually get a person. So remember, whenever it asks you, how can I help you? Just say, yabba dabba do.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Mike, very good. As far as I'm aware, although they might have used generative AI as part of that these days, these agents were available before generative AI really made a splash. It started very similar to a very, very old piece of software that a lot of old-timers like myself played with called Eliza, which operated, with voice recognition. Eliza wasn't smart enough to do voice recognition, but it operated on keywords. And so for places like Amazon, it would have a whole bunch of keywords, and depending upon what words you used, would branch out to different algorithms. So I'm not exactly sure whether it's directly wired into an AI large language model or they're just using a more sophisticated bunch of old-style algorithms. But, there were a lot of companies that sold that type of product long before there was an open AI. Any other comments before we move on to the main segment of tonight?
Just one.
Sure.
You have to take AI at this point with a grain of salt. Using AI on the computer, on your phone, interactive voicemail,
they're trying to apply it to every little thing with sometimes success and mostly failure. It creates aggravation. On my part, it creates animosity toward it. And I just don't understand how some of these companies are predicting so many hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue with what I see at this point. So I want to see some major, major, major strides. And until that time, I am very centrist on the topic.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, part of what's going on with everyone trying to get artificial intelligence into Cheerios and everything else is that somehow they got to figure out a way to make back those trillions of dollars that they're getting loans for. At this point, none of these companies can afford these server farms. They're taking loans upon loans upon loans, and banks are kind of looking at it and saying, I'm not quite sure that we got enough to cover this. So, I mean, we're at a teetering point where there's a lot of server farms that are in the midst of being built that construction has slowed down, some cases stopped, and you know, there's a lot of questions of whether companies that just kind of came into existence a few years ago are capable of building the number of server farms that they have contracts for. It's kind of a mess. And if you ever kind of look into circular investment, how AMD, NVIDIA, and the usual suspects for AI are having this circular, they're just moving money around. None of it's going out of the loop. So it's not exactly what you would hope for a healthy economy. You know, 10 companies pop, and you're talking about most of the S&P. The more you kind of read on the financial lines, the more you should be worried of what's happening. And I think just being euphoric, I see no reason to be euphoric at this point. I'm personally scared, and if you're not scared, then you're living someplace interesting, or taking something interesting. So again, one man's humble opinion. Keep in mind that 6 or 7 years ago I first started to talk about COVID, and some people kind of poo-pooed me then. So I don't want to quite sound like a Cassandra. But I guess I'm sounding a bit like a Cassandra. If you're not familiar with Cassandra, you know, look up the Odyssey.
One quick comment.
Sure.
A quick comment is this. Anyone should not consider AI to be artificial intelligence. That's a very, very good moniker for it, okay? It should really be called augmented information, and even that is giving it a very big pat on the back. Enough said.
Okay, but it's not exactly augmented information. Again, I think someone brought this up way back, that it's basically a grammar auto-completion algorithm, like Apple used to have, that if you typed a couple of words, it guessed what your next word was going to be. So I think the most accurate, in my humble opinion, is that it's an autocomplete based on probability that developed over a long time of trial and error with a whole bunch of examples. But, you know, everyone's going to use what they want to use. Even Sam Altman kind of fumbled around with, you know, what exactly artificial intelligence means, because it's not the most accurate descriptor for whatever this is, because it's presented as artificial intelligence, people are going to use that term. But the nuances are missing, and probably will never be corrected. It'll go down in the history books as generative AI and not be modified. But again, we shall see. The future has not happened yet. Any other comments before we move on? Very well. Let us go to the main segment for tonight. Questions, comments, and topics. If anyone has any, I'll ask them to hit the push to talk. Give me your first name, your call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or just science and technology. We'll write down the list. We'll adjust it if need be because of time constraints of some people. And that's the main segment. So if anyone out there has any questions or comments or topics, please hit that push to talk.
One topic.
B2BXO with a comment on AI.
Oh, okay, Frank.
Okay, and I think I heard somebody else in there also. Excuse me. Yeah, first of all, I agree with you. Augmented information, augmented something or other. The whole discussion kind of reminds me of the Pants on Fire discussions my parents' generation were having. Maybe I told you this before, back in the 1960s, when we kept reading all this stuff about how computers were thinking machines, and I remember seeing that in some of the science books in the library for children and young adults at the time, that computers are thinking machines and they do all these fantastic things, when at that time computers could barely get payroll and billing and a couple of other business applications right. somehow that whole cycle seems to be repeating itself. And the large language models, as in fact you explained it to me, which is probably accurate at the 30,000 foot level, so to speak. The AI just kind of predicts the next word. And sometimes they get it wrong because it's predicting based on probabilities. So, yeah, there's nothing intelligent about AI, at least not the current generation, even though just like very fast computers, because it can calculate and estimate probabilities very quickly, it can do repetitive tasks very well. I don't know that I've said anything that unique there, but that's my thought anyway. WB2BXO.
Yeah, I sort of understand why popular science-type writers get it mostly wrong, because you can only simplify things so much before it's a complete fairy tale. Computers, fundamentally, Newman type of computers are basically symbol manipulators. You give it values, you give it instructions on how to manipulate the values, and it gives you an answer. You can make it more sophisticated, and you can kind of hide what's going on behind it, the circuits, and make it simulate a human being. Up until recently, most of the artificial responses tended to sound like you were talking to a bit of a lunatic. They've been much less lunatic-y lately. Although, you know, there was one of the things I was going to mention but didn't get around to is there's some company that hooked up a ChatGPT onto a teddy bear and discovered that the teddy bear was telling little children where they can find sharp knives in the kitchen and other inappropriate things. It's very difficult to censor generative AI completely. Things kind of leak out of strange little bits and pieces. So I thank you, Frank, for your opinion. I think it's a very cogent one. Okay, back to the main segment. We have Brian. Anyone else want to put their name down?
WA2VDH with a comment about oscilloscopes.
Okay, John. Anyone else want to put their name down tonight?
K2HAL traffic.
Okay, understood. Anyone else out there want to put their name down for tonight?
Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf, I'll be listening for Roy, okay? Thank you.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll start with Brian, and hopefully as time goes on, there'll be more people with more questions or topics or something that we can have a conversation about. Brian, what can I do you for tonight?
Well, I think the subject that I would like to go ahead and tackle tonight is the inaccuracy of many analog and even digital SWR / power meters. I've tried a few, some friends, and I can never get a consistent reading, especially with analog. And I just want to know if there's any digital device out there that could actually give me a consistent, accurate power and SWR meeting. Reading. And just, I get different answers from these devices, and I don't know what to trust. I don't know if I need something lab grade or if it's just an engineering thing and use it as a rough estimate and leave it at that. So anybody would like to chime in, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, I will. Yes.
I could take a stab at this one, and that's that. One thing you have to remember with the standing wave is the nodes and antinodes for current and voltage are established on the line. Therefore, when measuring reflective power, with anything that is not some type of summing system that can sum both energies and give you a reading, like a professional power meter, a bird watt meter, those SWR meters, they're not great at that job because of this problem. And it takes very specialized products to do that. They used to call them bolometers because it's basically using heat, thermal energy, to determine what the reflected power is because of that problem. Is where is your measurement in the standing wave? So, you know, it's a deeper subject, and but I hope that helps. KC2, SC2, back to net.
Thank you, John. But, I mean, even that, unfortunately, is not very dependable. If you have an antenna like the Diamond, I think it's a CH104A or something, known to have basically a ballon that's a dummy load. What happens is you get very little reflected power back because it's absorbed in the ballon. And unfortunately, the way SWR meters are, basically they're just directional watt meters. They read the forward and reverse, calculate the SWR. If the return power is wrong because there's a lossy device in it, you'll misinterpret that as a much better SWR.
A comment.
Yeah, but that's not the question he asked. He's talking about reliability of measurement, not about reliability of transmission. So unless I misunderstood.
Well, I think he wants an accurate result, and if the flaw of SWR meters is that it assumes a relatively lossless transmission line for reflected power, it's going to give you a different one. I mean, you might get a more consistent result using the same exact calorimetry devices. Basically, it's a calorimeter. It takes the current, it applies it to a resistive load, and it measures the amount of calories that are produced and calculates power that way.
Comment.
Yeah, Brian?
Okay. So in order to have a controlled experiment, let's say, for example, I'm using AM, 25 watts to a 100-watt, in this case, it's a bird dummy load, okay, capable of 150 watts. So I key up on the AM of 25 watts, and it shows on my Daiwa CN-901 meter that it's only 15 watts. That goes against